got to sit in the back of a very comfortable jump seat with Dr. Mitch, and I got to just meet with him and hear his story, hear all the things. And I said, Mitch, you know, you go all over the world. Would you be interested in coming to our church, you know, and being a part of a service and just teach our, help impart missions into our church? And he said, I would love to. And said, let's just come up and we'll just make a weekend of it. So actually, we were able to spend some time with him and his wife and his daughter on Friday night, and also spend some time in downtown Atlanta. We did take him to the Varsity, praise the Lord. So if he's on a little bit of a carb meltdown this morning, we'll know why. Hope his stomach is all good and everything. So, yeah, that's probably a bad idea as well. So just to let you know, I just want to say a couple of things. Dr. Mitch and Michelle Arbelais, right? Did I say that right? Arbelais. They function as international missions mobilizers, and they base out of Jacksonville, Florida. They work with Go to Nations as well. Their focus is on mobilizing, this is great, their focus is mobilizing Latin American to change the mentality of being a mission field to being mission senders. So, you know, understand, missions is not a American calling. It's a church calling, no matter where you are, all over the world. I don't want to preach your message. But anyway, that's what he taught me in the back of that thing. Changed some thinking of mine, I'm going to be honest. So he is he has his master's degree in divinity. He also has a doctorate in, let me get this right, he's got his doctorate in leadership and global perspective, right? Hey, say, listen. And his wife, Michelle, is also has a master's degree in family and marriage counseling, a psychology type degree. It's awesome. These guys are amazing. Like, wow, you have come here. It's amazing. So, and they have four amazing kids, and Alyssa is here with them. So I just want to introduce these guys, and I want to give Mitch as much time as he wants. I just want to introduce, let's give him a wonderful Hope Church welcome to Dr. Mitch Arbelais.
Well, amen. I like that last word. Give him as much time as he desires. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, it is a wonderful opportunity to be here. My mother-in-law called me yesterday, and she said, where are you at? And I said, we're in Woodstock, Georgia. She goes, where is that? I said, well, God knows where it's at, amen?
Amen.
And God knows where Hope Church is at. Yeah. So if I have the slides, I can't see them. Are they back in the back?
Yes.
See, okay, so let's just click to the next one back there. All right, there we go. That's my family. That's the four. It's a little bit of an older picture, unfortunately, because my son has now moved to California to kind of start his life, and he's working out there and living out there. So it's hard to get a new family picture. And the last real good picture we have is in Christmas when my now 14-year-old daughter on the far right is crying because he's moving away. And she said, Dad, you're using that picture. I go, it's the last one we have of the whole family, you know. But everybody's now grown up in there. This is Brianna's graduation from high school, and she's about to graduate from college. So that's about, but to her credit, she is 19. So, yeah, she's the brainiac in the family. She got all the brains from Michelle, all the looks from Michelle, all the girls did. And I go, well, where am I at? And my Jaden, who is very quick-witted, she said, well, Dad, you gave us the tan. So I'm glad I'm in there somewhere, you know, that's good. Okay, next slide, if you would, please. So our mission, as Pastor David said, is we're international mission mobilizers with Go to Nations. We train Latin American churches to be mission-minded in order to raise up missionaries from the Latin churches and send these missionaries to the unevangelized parts of the world. So we are training Latin Americans to reach the unreached. Amen. Go next slide. So here we are. This is Nations Are Waiting. We're going to talk about that today, about the whole issue that for the gospel. Latin Americans ready to go, so we want to travel. Go ahead, next slide. We want to travel to this next slide, I think, is going to pop in there. There you go. There we go. Look at that plane. Yes. So we're going to Latin America because they are sometimes more evangelical than the United States. So as they are Americans like us, in the entire continent of America, we teach them and say, look, you don't wait for the, quote, Americans from the USA. You are Americans. So don't think that the Americans are going to come save you. The Savior has come and saved you. His blood is on the cross. His blood has spilt for you. And you are just as able and capable to go to the other nations and reach them. So that's what we do. All right, next slide here. Let's see what we got. Okay, very good. So there is a waiting world. Let's talk about that today. So over 700 years ago, Kublai Khan sent through Marco Polo to the Christian church in Rome and said he was interested in Christianity. So interested, he said, send me 100 men to teach Christianity to my court. By the time one Christian arrived, 28 years later, Kublai Khan was no longer interested in Christianity. The church was not willing. It took 28 years for the first Christian to arrive. Today, Mongolian Christians represent only 0.9% of the entire population, where Buddhism is the predominant religion. Question is, where was the church? In 1940, General MacArthur was a supreme commander of the Allied forces as they finished World War II. And there, as a five-star general, the American and Australian forces coordinated the attack and the surrender of Japanese on the Japanese island to end World War II. MacArthur occupied Japan to help rebuild the governmental system. And as a good Episcopalian that MacArthur was, and a devout man that he was, he told a visiting group of evangelicals, Japan is a spiritual vacuum. If you do not fill it with Christianity, it will be filled with communism or something worse. Send me 1,000 missionaries. And he also told the U.S. Missionary Society, Bible Society, to send him Bibles, Bibles, and more Bibles. But the church was not willing to send their sons and daughters to the enemy that they just defeated. They were not willing to pay the cost of shipping Bibles, Bibles, and more Bibles. Today, Japan is but 1% Christian. Shinto and Buddhism are Japan's major religions, but overall, Japanese is a secular nation that rules and reigns in the secular understanding of the Japanese life. Where was the church? See, today there is one calling. There is a voice going forth asking for Bibles. There is a voice asking for Christians to come. There are people asking for people who know Jesus to come to their land and teach them about Jesus. If you sat in church more than 6 months, you are well equipped to tell somebody what you have heard. Next slide there. There is a waiting church. But is there a willing church? See, I believe it is a willing church if the church understood her mandate, her purpose. See, the believer's Great Commission call, as you read it up there, is correct. The believer's Great Commission call. But unfortunately, these words have been separated, and it was never intended for them to be separated. What has happened is the Great Commission has been taken out. And so suddenly we have this. The Great Commission is this high calling out there for those chosen few, Pastor David and Julie who are pastors, or Dr. Mitch and Michelle who travel the world. Those are the special few that take care of the Great Commission. The rest of us, we just try to survive in our mundane lives, hopefully find a little bit of Jesus in our life. But what has happened with this is that when we remove it, the average Christian doesn't understand that it's their mission as well. So those who have been walking with God for years still don't understand their true calling as a believer. And therefore, we don't understand that the Great Commission is not only the mission for the church, but it is for every believer. Young Christians go around trying to find what their calling is. They try to figure out, what is the believer's call? What am I called to do? If I'm following Jesus, what am I going to be? What am I going to do with my life? Have you ever heard the story of the salt grains? Have you, Pastor? All right. I learned this from Ravi Zacharias. So just imagine, if you will, in a salt shaker, there's little salt grains. And one salt grain is just speaking out loud. He said, I enjoy being a salt grain. It is so wonderful to be in this salt shaker with all of my brethren. We have beautiful stained glass windows, and we have these little ventilation ducts that just allow the right amount of air to come in. It is so beautiful being a grain of salt. Well, this other grain of salt didn't like that, what he heard. So he came in alongside that first one, and he began to squelch his enthusiasm. He said, you know what? I don't like being a grain of salt. Because you know that you see that potato potato soup on the stove right there? Every time there's a boiling pot of soup, someone picks up our little shaker, turns us over, and some of our brethren slide out of those little ventilation ducts, never to be seen again. How would you like to be in that boiling pot of stew with the potatoes and carrots and turnips or whatever it is and dissolve and cease to exist? I don't like being a grain of salt in this shaker. Well, a third one overheard his conversation, and he came up to them and he said, you know, both of you are right. It is wonderful to be in this salt shaker and have our windows and have the fellowship and the camaraderie, the koinonia of being together in a salt shaker. Turned to the second one, he said, you are also right. Some of us will be shaken out through those ventilation ducts and into that boiling pot of soup. But I know this, when I get into that boiling pot of soup, that soup will never taste the same again. You see, every Christian, when they penetrate the society should never be the same again. Jesus called us the salt and the light of this world. We are to be just like that salt. When we get into society, society never tastes, never is the same again. But we've lost that purpose. We've lost it when we've lost the understanding, the mission that is the Great Commission for the church. If you, as a believer, understand the Great Commission and understand your purpose on the earth, you cannot separate the two. Your purpose is the Great Commission. So therefore, we need to put back, you already did it, brother, thank you so much. So we put back this Great Commission into the believer's Great Commission call. So what is your call? It's the Great Commission. What is this church's call? It's the Great Commission. We are all about the Great Commission. So let's look at it in our Bible today. Now, when I typically speak about the Great Commission, everybody says, oh, well, Matthew 28, oh, Mark 24, oh, John 20, you know, go out into all the world, make disciples. But if you understand the truth behind the Great Commission, you will begin to see the Great Commission from Genesis to the maps. And you will see, that God's Great Commission and calling for all of us to be involved in the Great Commission is throughout all of Scripture. So I'm going to teach you the Great Commission found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you can pull up that first slide for me, thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now, I'm going to read it slowly. And the slides are not going to change until I read it. Okay? Watch what happens, because y'all are going to find something out here. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Stop right there. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. That is the first verse I learned as a brand new believer. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. He is a new creation. Now, everyone wants to stop there. Because anyone who's called upon the name of the Lord has that promise. Anyone who's called on the name of the Lord, anyone who's in Christ, is a new creation. Let me ask you this. Has anyone in here, anyone, called upon the name of the Lord and has become a new creation? Anyone? All right. Pastor, there's a few hands down, so we'll talk about those later. But you're free to be here. That's what's so exciting. Speaking of history and General MacArthur and Kublai Khan, there's a famous date, January 27th, 1987. Does anybody remember that in their history? January 27th, 1987. I cannot believe it. Nobody knows that date. It's amazing. Okay, one. Thank you. All right. It was the date that I was invited to church. In the back of a Baptist church for free pizza, and I love to eat. And I have been known to out-eat people three times my size, and I love it. So pizza I love, and I went there. I missed the pizza because I was late from a soccer game I was in. And then I sat in the back of the church, and I heard the gospel for the first time. I'd attended church. I was one of those Catholic heathens, you know. And I had a drug problem. I got drugged to church on Sunday and drugged to catechism and drugged there. My mom drugged me everywhere. And so I sat in the back and I heard for the first time that you could know. It wasn't that one day you die and you get waited out and go, okay, your sins versus your goodness and see which one wins. And then you get into heaven. But no, that God paid the price to allow me into his heaven. But not only that, he wants to have unity and fellowship with me now. I could have heaven on earth. I thought they had just figured out the Bible, and it finally came to Beaumont, Texas. And they finally, you know, came from the east or the west coast, but, you know, it takes a little time to get to the center. Finally came, and they finally figured out the Bible. And I was just amazed. Someone asked me, had you ever done this before? And I went, done what? Asked Jesus, and I said, isn't this the first time anybody's allowed to do this? It's come to Beaumont, Texas. I said, no, people have been doing this for 2,000 years. And I said, why hasn't anyone told me? I was 18 years old, and no one had told me that story. So I got Jesus, and I received that 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away now. Look at the next portion of this. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now that completes verse 17. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. That's what we stick on our refrigerator. That's the codifying verse that we live by and say, that's Christianity right there. I am new. But let me tell you, that's not all that happened that night on January 27th, 1987. What happened that night continues as we see in verse 18. Look at it. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now back up. We're talking about the Great Commission. How many of y'all just saw it? All right, we'll enlighten you in just a minute. Look at it. The Great Commission right there. God reconciled us to himself and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is that God in Christ is reconciling the world to himself. In the garden, they got separated. The original intent was that God and man would fellowship in the garden daily. Fellowship daily. When Adam and Eve sinned, separated from God. The consequences was separation. They could never have that intimacy that God longed for. God didn't need us. He wouldn't be God if he needed anything. But he wanted us to experience in him, his glory. So he wanted a chance to bring man back to himself. He couldn't do it if sin was in the way. So the entire message of the cross is, let me remove that which is in the way of our fellowship out of the way so that we can return back to the fellowship we were to have. So here, God is reconciling the world. Now he's given us the ministry of that reconciliation. I represent God to you, and I tell you about what God has done for me. Then I take your hand and his hand, and we join you together, and we reconcile you to God. That is the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? The Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all the things that I've taught, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always. Think about it. You are reconciling people who don't know God to right. God right. And restoring them back yes. together. Amen. But that's not all. You know those commercials? Act now. Look at verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you. On Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That is so packed with theological understanding. We could spend a week teaching what just transpired in those verses. But I'll have to say this. The conclusion is that we have become the righteousness of God. We have been totally transformed. You are now the representatives of God on this earth. You now are the ambassadors. Ambassadors are those who, from a kingdom or from an institute, you now represent that institute wherever you go. The ambassador in Honduras, where he lives, is technically, literally, USA territory. Why? Because the ambassador is there on that piece of property. You, as an ambassador of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the kingdom of God, wherever you place your foot, you bring the kingdom of God. Wherever you go, you are bringing the message of reconciliation. You are an ambassador of God. Now, let's quickly delineate all that happened. Let's start here. You have it listed up there. Number one, we have been transformed, made new creations. Oh, that is incredible. Number two, we have been reconciled to Christ, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You've got a ministry. You've got a ministry. But you know what? You've even got a title. Let's continue. Number three, the word of reconciliation has been committed to us. He's committed to give you that word of reconciliation. So you, look, it's right here, that you can take the message of reconciliation and give it to others. Number four, we were given the title. There it is, ambassador. Ambassador for Christ because God is working through us, pleading through us for others to be reconciled to God. Number five, we are able to do all of this because we are not ourselves anymore. We have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How? Why? What? Because he who knew no sin took our sin so that we could become and take his righteousness. I've got a whole message called The Great Exchange from that one verse. It is the great exchange of what took place on the cross. He willingly took your place, died in your stead, paid the sacrifice, and now he offers you the robes of righteousness. He says, you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As ambassadors, you wield great authority, great power. I'd say to you, Christian, rise up and assume your rightful place, connected rightly with the Father, offering reconciliation to others, walking as an ambassador and representative as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now that's the Great Commission. We've been given the bread of life. Now we have been commissioned as the bread dispensers to be able to give the bread of life to all those. We can't fail at this. We can't go wrong at this. See, the problem, though, unfortunately, is that we don't get past verse 15 or verse 17. For all have become in Christ, have become a new creation. Suddenly we stop there and we think, it's all about me. Look at me. I'm a new creation. All things have passed. All things are new. I'm joining Jesus. Yeah. And we think, this is all it is, man. Just God wants to love me and me alone. It's all about me. And what we've done is we've changed all the other verses into, well, that's for somebody else. But verse, you know, chapter 5, verse 15, right there, that's for me. That's mine. And I'm the only one who gets that. But you know what? You're not. Because you've been given the title, the commission, the ministry. It's not just about you. Because you see, 150,000 people die daily, according to statistics. 110 of them die without Christ as Savior. But out of that 110, 45,000 never even heard the message of reconciliation. Now, someone once said, well, I don't think that's fair that they go and aren't, you know, allowed to get into heaven. As if God was the one on trial. As if God is not fair, just, and holy. But see, we have to explain, that's a sad fact, to others that God's not the one on trial here. God gave his best, sent his son to be our sin for us, that we can become his righteousness. And he left us with the message of reconciliation. So God's not the one to blame here. We could easily say, You know what? He's entrusted us to do our part. He's entrusted us to do our part. And what we have done is we have not done our part. Because we're the new creation. We just want to, Jesus, just love on me, fix me, heal me, provide for me, give me that, give me this, fix that. You know, I just want the nice, easy, suburban, comfortable life. Don't call me to Africa, Honduras, Malawi. What? I want to stay where I can just enjoy your presence. And we don't realize that there are 45,000 who die daily, never having the chance to hear about Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all feel that it is not only a good and proper, right thing to do, to share your faith? Who believes that? To share your faith with somebody is a good thing. Now, that's not bad. We got a good majority of people here. Now, I say not bad because here's a recent poll. You can put that up on the slide next. Right here. According to a recent Barna survey, almost half of practicing Christian millennialists. Now, millennials are those millennials who were born between 1982 and 2004. How many of y'all were born after 1982? After, in 82 or after 82 and before 2004? Okay, raise your hand high. Come on, you're proud. I'm millennial. Hey. What's up, man? All right. Your generation of those who raised their hand have this situation. Here's a strange thing. Millennials in particular feel equipped to share their faith with others. They feel equipped. For instance, almost three quarters, 73%, say they know how to respond when someone raises questions about faith. And they are gifted at sharing their faith. They feel gifted to share their faith with us, about 73%. But, go ahead, next slide. Almost half of the millennials, 47%, though agree, at least somewhat, that it is wrong to share one's personal belief with someone of a different faith and hope that they will one day share the same faith. Do you see the problem with this? We have people who, in this generation of millennials coming up, that they believe in God, they think they're even gifted at sharing their faith. But 47, almost 50% of them believe that it's wrong to share your faith. We have taken the Great Commission, not only out of the believers, but out of the church, out of the message of God. You do your thing, I'll do mine, we leave each other alone, and we're good. That is the non-judgmental society generation we live in. Beloved, the word of reconciliation has been entrusted to us. Us. Not just missionaries, not just pastors, all of us. See, there is a waiting world. We have to be a willing church to deliver the bread of life to those who are waiting. So you say, well, how do we as a church in Woodstock, Georgia, Little Hope Church, do the Great Commission? How do we reach Woodstock and the greater area of Atlanta and the surrounding areas all at the same time? Man, I'm so glad you asked that question. Because here it is up here. How, we got it up there? All right. How does Hope Church share the bread of life, the message of reconciliation, here, there, and everywhere? You see, when we look at the church that God established, we realize that He unified the body of Christ. He unified us as an interactive body of Christ in order that we might fulfill not just our individual calling, but our global and community calling together. We are both individuals, but put into a collective body. So individually and collectively, we've both been called to the Great Commission. How do we fulfill that together? We look at Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 says this, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, I've preached this in Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Episcopal, and charismaniac churches. And I say to my charismatic brethren, I say, oftentimes we think the Holy Spirit comes for me, so I can get the shakes and the shivers and the falling down and the goosebumps and the speaking in tongues, all that kind of stuff. Hey, that's wonderful. You know what? I don't care where you fall, how you fall. I want to know how you walk when you get up.
Come on.
You see, if you have an encounter with God to such a degree that your knees give way and you fall down, then you better come up and walk differently. Amen? So I used to tell my church, I'd go, you guys love all the charismatic stuff. You can bark as a dog, quack as a chick. Well, not when Rachel's around. Don't quack like a chicken. She has an anathema towards chickens. We'll pray for her healing. All right. So in this verse, we see that the Holy Spirit comes not for the goosebumps, not for the charismata, as it is in the Greek. Yes, that may come. And you know what? It may not. But I do see this in this verse, that you will be empowered, endued from on high to be my witnesses. You will actually be given the power to carry out what we just read in 2 Corinthians, to be the ambassador, to be the minister of reconciliation, to be the bread deliverer, to be entrusted with that, to reconcile God and man together. The power of the Holy Spirit is for that. Every local church and every believer individually has a local call and a global call at the same time to reach your community and the ends of the earth. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria and the ends of the earth. But you know what? Unfortunately, some pastors say this. Go ahead with this next one. Pastor says that his church will get involved with missions after they reach their whole community because Acts 1:8 instructs us to reach our communities first. But that's an incorrect interpretation of that verse. Because see, we are to reach them at the same time. What did we read? That you read in Acts 1:8, Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Not then. It's an and.
Right.
And if the pastor interpretation was correct, then every mission trip the Apostle Paul made was unscriptural. Because Antioch was not reached when he said, set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I have for them. And they sent them out. Antioch was not a Christian city. It was not totally evangelized yet. Also, we read that God wants you, as a local church, to reach your community and the nations at the same time. It's not a neither, either, or. It's a both simultaneously. Second misinterpretation, go ahead. A pastor may say, we are not involved with foreign missions because our mission field is our city. That's what we are called to because the disciples were sent back to Jerusalem first. Now, the pastor's right, but only half right. See, every church is called to reach their, quote, Jerusalem, or has popularly now become understood as their community. But they are just as called to reach the uttermost parts of the earth at the same time. Just as a side note, since I have all these degrees that I've been educated beyond my intelligence, none of the disciples came from Jerusalem. They were from Galilee, Bethsaida, Capernaum. That's not Jerusalem. Had Jesus said, now go back to Galilee, and wait there. But no, Jesus was fulfilling what we read in Luke 24. Go ahead. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to where?
All nations.
Beginning where?
Jerusalem.
See, Jesus had a strategy. That day of Pentecost, we had nationals and from all these areas surrounding Jerusalem. He knew that the day of Pentecost would be a perfect place to launch his national understanding of reaching the ethnos, all people groups. What did they say? We hear these men speaking in our language for Cappadocia, other people from Maine, all these other cities and languages. See, these Galilean fishermen did not come from Jerusalem. So my question to you is, if I'm called as a Christian to reach my community and the world at the same time, how is that possible? Well, we read in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they, the lost, call on him, Jesus, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they, the lost, believe in him, Jesus, of whom they have not heard? And how shall they, the lost, hear without a preacher? And how shall they, the preachers, preach unless they are sent? In essence, how shall they go preach to the lost in these other nations unless they are sent ones? See, the Greek word here is apostolos. Doesn't that sound very familiar? Apostolos is where we get the English word apostle. Missionary does not show up in your Bible. It comes from the Latin word missio, which missio is the Latin word apostolo, a sent one, one who is sent. So that's where we get our English and Spanish word missionario, missionary. We get it from the Latin, that take it from the Greek, that we here see as apostolos. So the apostles, Apostle John, Apostle Peter, Apostle Bartholomew, they were apostles because Jesus says, as I, the Father sent me, so I send you. You are a sent one. You are an apostle. Sent one to declare the glories of God, to be an ambassador of the earth. So how many apostles do we have here? Thank you. Everybody should be raising their hand. Come on. We're in class. I'm the doctor. Raise your hand. All right. So missionary refers to those who have been sent. In Romans, next slide here. In Romans chapter 10, we identify two distinct roles for the congregation or the local church. Number one, there are the ones that are raised up out of the congregation and sent to be sent or send as missionaries. They are what we call sent ones. Where do missionaries come from? I mean, we're a mission agency. We train missionaries and send them to every place around the world. Okay? We have over 900 missionaries scattered throughout 95, 97 different nations. We're getting close to completing 100 nations in the 35, 36-year history of Go to Nations. Awesome. 100 nations. So where do missionaries come from? eBay? Amazon Prime? Amazon Prime is the best thing ever, right? Do we just order them up? Hey, I need a couple more missionaries from Malawi. You know. No, missionaries come from where you're sitting right now. They come from the local church. That's why Michelle and I's heart is so much for the local church. Ever since we got saved, I saved at 18, she got saved at 20, and we have been ministering in the local church. I got saved at 18, started ministry at 19. I thought that's what everybody did. You know, we just started going and preaching and teaching and said, hey, everybody's got to do this, right? So when we talk about missionaries coming, they come from the local church. The local church is the seedbed for the missionaries, and it's also the sending force for the mission. And that's the second part. Number two, this is the rest of the congregation. There's the two roles in Romans chapter 10. The rest of the congregation is called by God to be the sending force behind the sent one or the missionary. Because you do not simply, you don't send yourself. You don't get up and go. You have sent senders behind that sent one. Maybe you're not called to go to the nations. You are a wise businessman. You got an MBA. You know statistical analysis and how profit sheets do all that stuff and what those numbers mean. Okay? I don't. So, you make great money. You know how to start business. You know how to develop business. Maybe you lay carpet. Maybe you're a carpenter. Maybe you're a painter. Maybe you know how to do things, within the investment world. Hey, you know what? God's blessed you. Why? Because we need senders and we need sent ones. Amen. We need both. That's right. So let me ask you this question. Here it is up here. Which role is the most important in completing the Great Commission? Senders or sent ones? I better think about that question. Which one? Got you thinking, didn't I? All right, let's do an illustration here. I need six people. So give me six people here. We got, y'all two look good. Come on up. Three, come on, four. Rachel, come on, five. Let me see. I got six. Wesley, you come. Let's see. I got to make sure I have another. I may not have another woman though. I may need to have another woman. Here you go. All right. So let's see. Instead of a businessman or businesswoman, I'm gonna make you a businessman. Okay. Let's just understand that as a businesswoman because she's just recently started majoring in business. So let's just put her. We're gonna make you a banker. You are wait a minute. I gotta get one. Okay. We're gonna make her homemaker because hey. Wow. There's some women who are homemakers, right? We got a doctor here. We got a truck driver, and look at you. And we got a pastor. All right? Now, this is a typical congregation, isn't it? The pastor, we got people who do truck drivers, we got a doctor, we got a homemaker, maybe homeschooler kids, we got a businessman or woman, businesswoman here, and we got a banker. This makes up an average congregation in the United States, and technically anywhere in the world we have people just like this. Okay? But then we also have two different types of people. We have one that's called the local lost. Now, I'm going to put you, if you could come sit right here. Now, what's your name?
Charlene.
Charlene. Charlene, you may sit right there. Charlene is lost locally here in Wichita. So, okay. Charlene, no smiling. Okay, thank you. You're sad, depressed. She's bound up in all kind of sin. You can just see it on her. Look at her, all right? Bound up in sin, bound up in those situations. Now, if you could, what's your name way in the back, young lady?
We spent a week together in Honduras.
I cannot see. Tell me. Callie, come here, Callie. Hey. Callie, thank you. Hey, now I recognize you. Because, hey, I'm not.
I have to leave the church, I'm offended.
Hey. See, she is lost. See. Callie, thank you. Technically, I don't have my glasses on, so all of y'all just look like a blur, you know? No, you're not close.
Oh.
See, you're lost globally. So she is other side of the world, okay? Lost globally. Now, here, stay with me. Here is our church. Now, in a typical church, Pastor David, Julie, you do exactly what I'm about to describe. Pastor, come here. Let's pretend you are just doing the same things that these beautiful pastors do. You go, you pray for your congregation, hallelujah, praying for them. Look at that, praying for them. Look at that. You pray, and also, you teach, you preach. I mean, look at him. He's just going. He's preaching, hallelujah. Man, things are flying. He's one of those charismatic preachers. Oh, my gosh. Charismatic preacher. Okay, so he's preaching, he's teaching. Also, he's kind of like gathering these. Let's say he gathered these three together in a little small group, gather them together, teach them. Now, he's teaching about evangelism. He's teaching about the lost. He's teaching them that they're ambassadors, that they need Jesus, that they need to go out into their community and win the lost. So, start doing it. How you do it? Come on. You can do it. That's the way Pastor David does it? Is that it? All right, so he's preaching. Now, thank you. You can go back. Sunday morning, he's preaching about the nations. He's preaching about the lost here in Woodstock in Atlanta. And he's getting the people fired up, and they're believing it. So what happens is this couple right here, are y'all a couple, right?
Yes.
I don't want to put, I've done that before. I put people together, and they were not together.
Just met her.
Okay. Now, look, you got a neighbor over here that you've been, Charlene, just been witnessing to her, loving on her. Now, listen, they develop friendship. They cook for her. Yes. They help her with her car. You know, they're doing things for her. Charlene begins to see the love of Christ. Yeah. The love of Christ. Yeah. They begin to talk about the reconciliation message with her. Yeah. They begin to share Jesus. And they give her the bread of life. Suddenly, Charlene accepts Christ.
Finally!
So, now, what do? She's no longer lost, right? So what do you do with her? You bring her to church. Bring her to church. Thank you. Now, this is what we call evangelical or what we call a conversion growth within the church. This morning you heard about biological growth. That is when babies are born in the church. The church grows that way. The church also grows by conversion growth. But it also grows by transfer growth. That transfer growth, we like, it's okay, but we don't want to rely on it. Many of y'all have probably been to other churches, and now you're into this church. And you might even go to another church. That's why Pastor David and Julie hold you with open hands, that God may call you, God may remove you. God, you know, like some people, they get offended that we don't remember their name, and they leave, you know. Oh! Don't send me there. So people will leave. They will transfer growth to another church. Wonderful. Some of y'all have transferred, and others will come and join our body here together, okay? So now, as we have this, pastor continues to preach about missions, continues to preach about the lost, continues to put videos like Maui, and suddenly the Spirit of the Lord is doing the same thing he did in Antioch. He's hovering above this congregation. Then one day, the Lord will touch somebody.
missionaries. Now, God's call on their life. Now they're one of the sent ones.
Yeah.
Now they've got a calling on their life.
Yes.
Let's interview this missionary and let's find out what her commitment level is. Rachel, I heard you're going to another country. You've been called to be a missionary. Is that correct?
That's what my son says, yes.
Yes. Now, I want you to answer yes to every
yes.
one of my
okay,
questions,
yes,
okay?
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, Rachel, you're called to be a missionary.
Yes.
Now, you just graduated with your MBA.
Yes.
And you just got that nice job in that corner office, right, at that corporation.
Yes.
What is it, Coke, like on the 15th floor or something?
Amen.
You got the raise you've always been praying for, right?
Yes.
Now, let me take this a little step further. Now, you're married, aren't you?
Yes.
And you and your... He wants to be an uncle. Yes. Well, here's the question. You got three little kids, don't you?
Yes.
Yes.
It got better.
Three kids, a husband, a nice job. And I mean, you and your husband just had these architectural plans drawn up to build this beautiful home right outside Woodstock, correct?
Yes.
And you have a great church, don't you?
Yes.
Your father's a pastor, isn't he?
Yes.
And your parents realize that you're going to take your children with you to this other country. And you know that your children are not going to grow up next to grandma and grandpa, right?
Yes.
Oh, I'm coming too.
And you're going to have to learn another language.
Yes.
And you're going to have to eat strange food.
Yes.
Now, you can see where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, what commitment level on a scale 1 to 10, what is the commitment level of this missionary, Rachel?
10.
Now, I asked you a question earlier. Stay with me. Which role is most important in completing the Great Commission? Senders or sent ones? You said both equally important. Here is the rub, and here is the situation we currently have why the Great Commission is not being completed in our time. The missionary is at a level 10. Why? Because she has no choice. The missionary must leave it all for the call. God cannot take that away from her. She has to give up the job, the education, the office, the promotions, the sacrifice to take her family, to learn the language, to eat the strange food, to be in another country. That is the level of commitment. But you said the sent one is just equally as important as the senders. What commitment level should the senders be then? It always gets quiet at that moment. Because see, the only way this missionary is going to ever be sent is that these senders right now think just equally as the local evangelism as it is global evangelism.
Wow.
This missionary cannot go, will not be able to fulfill what God has called her to reach the global loss unless the congregation as senders understand their role, not just as important as a sent one, but equally at the commitment level. And when we get to that commitment level, we say, you know what? This missionary had to adjust her lifestyle. Her dreams were heading one way. God changed those. When I started dating Michelle, I was in pre-med. I was going to be a general surgeon. That's my life's dream, was to cut people open and to do heart surgery or something on them. Cardiologist, endurologist, whatever. I was going to just dissect people. I loved it. Studied it. Did the advanced classes. Went all the way to calculus and crazy stuff like that because I wanted to be a doctor. And then suddenly God changed me in my third year and said, I'm calling you to preach my word. I surrendered it all. And I had to go to Michelle and say, you know, we're getting serious here, and here's the situation. I'm no longer heading where you thought I was. I'm going in a different direction.
Wow.
You need to go and seek God, whether you're going to continue with me or not. She came back and she said, the Lord has given me a word. And she quoted the book of Ruth. your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you go, I will go. 28 years later, she's been by my side. And I've been to 27 nations. This year, if I make it to India with confusions there, if I make it, that'd be 28 nations where I go and teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, we altered our whole thing from the potential of making a doctor's income to now we go to churches like Hope. We go to people who make the money in their profession. We say, can you partner with us on a monthly basis to help us do what we do around the world? Her parents don't understand it. Why we do what we do. She's got a master's, she's got a doctorate degree, and we're asking people to help fund us. But that's the missionary call upon our lives. We have to adjust our lifestyle. This missionary is going to adjust her lifestyle to answer the call. You guys are called equally to the Great Commission. There is an adjustment that has to take place in our daily lives, in our weekly lives, in our month lives. You know what? Pastor is calling at the end of this month for finances to be given to missionaries, to sent ones, okay, who have altered their life to do what God's put upon their heart. We need to look at ourselves and go, you know what? I'm going to alter my life. And maybe I'm going to take $100 every week that I would have spent on Starbucks and Netflix and dog food and things like that. You know what? I'm going to try to save as much as I can on a weekly basis. And when Pastor calls for that offering, I'm going to give it all. You know what? I'm going to work and I'm going to start a second business. Because I'm good at starting business. I've done it all my life. Let's just start another business, honey. Talk to your wife and you say, let's start another business. And all the proceeds of that business, we're going to give to the mission field. We're going to give the pastor to give to those missionaries who are coming and going and selling. Because we're adjusting our life to the conform to the Great Commission call that is upon us equally as it is upon the sent ones. Do you hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Give me the next slide. So the church is 20 times stronger than necessary at this moment to finish the Great Commission. But most of it is asleep or too focused on itself to be effective in reaching the world for Christ. Wow. You represent that 20 times stronger, yes. Financially, spiritually, emotionally, healthy. If you could rise up and understand that there is a waiting world, will you be a church that is ready to go? Thank you. Give these guys a hand.
Yes, thank you.
Ah, stay right there, Callie. Stay right there. This is a little thing we teach in one of the seminars that I'm asking Pastor David to have us back to do this seminar for your church called Global Pathways. You'll see some information out on our table out there. And we teach it around the world. We've translated into Spanish, Portuguese, Swahili, Tagala, Russian. Help me, Michelle. It's six or seven other languages. I can't remember them all right now. But this happened by accident. We collected all of the things from our thing, and then somebody said, hey, what about Cali? What about that unreached globally? And then Dr. Jerry had to turn to her. And it always gets me, because we do it the same way. I said, I'm sorry. We can't reach you right now. Not because we don't have the resources, not because we don't have the talent, not because we don't have the time. We can't reach you because we just don't have the commitment to send someone to reach you. There's somebody who wants to go and learn your language, learn your food, be willing to learn your culture, and share the reconciliation message of God with you, but the church is not ready to send. And we have to apologize to that person. We have to apologize to the 3.5 billion people who have yet to hear. 47,000 are stepping off into a Christless eternity because the church just won't understand that the Great Commission is their calling. It's the purpose of the church. As one of the authors that I read behind, Stephen Bevan, says, it's not so much that the church has a calling, but that the calling has a church. Yeah. Yeah. The calling, the purpose of the Great Commission has a church. And the church's purpose is to do with the calling and the caller. Jesus says, I'm sending you as the Father sent me. Go into all the world. You will need senders and sent one to fulfill this mission. But it is your mission. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bless your people here at Hope Church. I ask, Father, that you would increase them. Every person who has a job here, I pray, abundantly overflowing from the heavens, windows opening up that they cannot contain. May it pour down upon them, press down, overrunning, I pray, of blessings financially. Father, as you can get it, if you can get it through them, you can get it to them. So I pray for abundance of finances to this church. I pray for an overflow that they can bless this community, bless this all the dreams they have of this congregation and building, and they can have an abundant overflow to just continually give it to the nations, that they may be the Great Commission Church you desire for them to be. Thank you for Pastor David and Julie's heart. May you increase them, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 All right, I'm not ushers. Worship team, whoever you guys are, I'm so messed up at the moment. That is so good. That is so good. That is so good. So, Dr. Mitch is, him and his wife are, the way Go to Nations operates is every individual group, every individual that is part of Go to Nation, from the president all the way down, raises their own funds. They raise their own funds. So we're not going to take up another offering this morning, but what I would ask is that if you would like to give into their ministry, they will be out at the out at their table out there, and we are obviously going to give an honorarium to them this morning. But if you would like to give on top of that, we welcome you to do that. You can do it two ways. You can actually give online here at the church, and we will make sure that that gets to you as well. Just select missions on it and put Dr. Mitch in the comment online. Or also, you can just see them directly. And maybe you feel like that's a, because they are raising up. Okay, so what he didn't talk about is he talked about how the Latin Americans right now are primed to go to the Middle East. Because the Middle East don't hate Latin Americans. And it's true, right? They look a little, they fit in a little bit into their culture and that kind of whole idea. I can't really go to, because we talked about that. The look, yeah, the size, everything. So the Latin America, so what he is doing to going to Latin America and teaching people that you can be sent to the Middle East. So it's not a American call. It's you and me and the church of Latin America and the church of India. It's the church of all over. It's our call. And I remember he told me this story of him being in Cuba. And he talked about, just to give you an idea of what he does, he told me in the back of that Land Rover or whatever it was, he said there was a time he was speaking in Cuba, and these guys came up to him and they said, hey, look, they said, we're a group of just a handful of people. He said, we've been up in the mountains of Cuba praying. Remember that story? He said, we've been in the mountains of Cuba praying that God would help us go to the Middle East to be missionaries. Can you help us? And Dr. Mitch says, of course we can help you. That's the kind of thing that Dr. Mitch is doing all over the world. Focus in Latin America, but all over the world. So if you'd like to be a part of helping him do that, like I said, you can give online and put that in the comments, or you can just see him. Maybe you want to be a partner with these guys. I so believe in what they're doing, and I can't thank you enough, the impartation, for this morning. So I have so much to say. That's why we're having a whole month of this. So next week, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Mitch. Thank you, Michelle. Alyssa, thank you for coming. And so the rest of this month. So next week, we're going to talk about reaching our local community. We're going to talk a little bit about Super Surge, but we're also going to have Lynn Saunders from Papa's Pantry. She's going to tell her story about how she started feeding people who are in need out of her own supply and out of her own basement. So she's going to tell her story about how that all went down, and just a simple little person like you and me made a difference, and now they're 25 years strong. So we're going to talk about that next week. Why don't you all stand with me? We're going to pray. Father, we look to you. We thank you. And we say, God, we receive a call to missions. Maybe even right now where you're at, just say, God, what does that look like for me? What does that look like for me? Just surrender that to the Lord. Say, God, whatever you ask me to do, that's what I'll do. Whatever you ask me to do, that will I do. Maybe you're in this place and you're just like, man, I just need to make kind of even, when Dr. Mitch talked about that full commitment thing, I just know that that's where I'm at. And maybe you're here in this morning and you say, I need to kind of make that commitment to God. Or maybe you're in this room and you say, I need to make that commitment for the first time. I need to surrender my life to the God who loves me. Just right where you're at, just ask the Lord to say, God, renew me. In your own words, just God, renew me. Make me right with you. God, forgive me for going my own way and doing my own thing, not acknowledging you. I receive Jesus as my Savior this morning. I receive Jesus, the one who remakes me and makes me into the person that God, you asked me and you would want me to be. God, we thank you. God, help me to follow you. And Jesus, help me not just make you my Savior, but my Lord. I surrender my life to you this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. I said amen. Amen. Wow, what a great service. It's just going to get gooder and gooder. Gooder and gooder all month. So I just thank you guys. I love my church. I love this church. I love this body. And I am ready for this month. I'm ready to unleash Hope Church here, there, and everywhere. Amen. To watch what God wants to do. We have grown a really cool thing. It's time to unleash what God wants to do in our church, into here, there, and everywhere. Amen. God bless you guys. If you need prayer for anything, we're welcome. You're welcome to come down. We'll be glad to pray for you. If you want to go see Mitch, you want to give to them, go ahead and do that online. God bless you guys. Have a great, awesome week.